I tell you, I love that song. I thank y'all for doing that this morning, and I appreciate all of you being here. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like for everybody who either got saved or joined when we were over in the old building. Of course, now many of you were there a long time before I was, and our church, does anybody remember 100 and how many years old this homecoming? 112 years old. Well, we were sitting at the Chick-fil-A with our grandbabies, and of course, you know, I had a birthday yesterday, and we hadn't talked about birthdays or nothing, but one of the twin boys, Hunter, sitting there, and he was eating his chicken nuggets. He looked up at me, and he said, "Papa, how come you're so old?" And I said, "I've just been hanging around a long time. That's all it is." Hey, if you were saved or either joined over in the old building, would you please stand? We want to honor you this morning, recognize all, look at all these friends, and many of them were there for many, many years. God bless you. Amen. Thank the Lord for you, and we love you in the Lord. God's been so very good to us. Amen. And we've got some friends back over here visiting with us again, and Miss Brenda's sister's here, and I saw Diane and Clinton somewhere. They in here. They are. Amen. Right here. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for them being here, and they are a real blessing from heaven. And of course, she's Miss Trudy's sister, and we're glad that they're visiting. Other folk who've not been with us for some time, we're glad you're back home visiting with us. We appreciate you. Now, if you have started attending here within the last, let's just say the last year, so that would be last year this time. If you've been started attending here in the last year, would you please stand? Let's see if we've had some new folks to come in since then. Well, praise the Lord. Let's welcome all these new friends. Amen. God bless you. Thank the Lord. That's a wonderful addition. And God just, our family's getting bigger and bigger. Amen. And speaking of families, if you missed the Sunday night sing, the fifth Sunday night sing the other night, you missed a blessing from heaven. That was wonderful. All the fifth Sunday night sing, and all of it was great. It was a blessing, I'm telling you right now. And but then Brother Barry's family and the Ennis family, and it wasn't all of them. If you were here and you saw them, that wasn't near about all of them. But their whole group came up and sang. And it was great. Ricky did a fantastic job moderating, and I appreciate Brother Brad getting everything together for us and helping to organize that a little bit. And he had to, of course, be out of town, but I appreciate that. It was a blessing. I'm going to get you out in time to eat. Now, let me just tell you ahead of time so I won't forget a couple of things. Miss Trudy said they got it arranged a little bit differently. And some of you who are always into the line, you do like I do. You walk by and you said, "I bet that was good. I bet that was good. I bet that was good." And because you get down to the end and then you get a few green beans and a chicken thigh or something. But at any rate, what they've done this year, we got it set up with two tables. And when we're going to go out this door and we'll go down the hall and go through. We're going to ask the blessing in here. And so don't wait on me. I'll get there as soon as I can. And if don't wait on nobody, but I want you to, we're going to ask a blessing. And when you go through, you just go through and get what you want to eat. Be considerate of all the folk behind you, but you have two lines to go through. Now, there's going to be wonderful desserts and everything back in there. But on yesterday, Jimmy and Shirley Smith came by the house. They had a little early kind of a birthday and homecoming gift for me. And I appreciate it. They went and Miss Sue Ellen helped. She was in on it too. I appreciate her being a part of that. But there's a Bojangles cake back there. Now, you've never seen a Bojangles cake. It looks like one of the big Bojangles tailgate boxes, and it's got a leg and a thigh on it down there, but it's all cake. And I want you to look at it and take pictures of it and wish you had one, because I wrote on the note, "Do not cut." Now, we'll cut it maybe before we leave, but I want to let everybody see it. That is most amazing. I appreciate all your letters and cards and texts and everything. If I didn't respond to you, I'm sorry. I tried to go back through them because I wasn't where I could do it most of the time, but I appreciate the text and the cards that we've gotten already. Thank you so much, and you're very kind. I appreciate that. Did I tell you to turn your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John? Excuse me, 1 John chapter. If you will, we're going to go back to chapter number 3. And I want to share something with you there real briefly in just a few moments. But while you're doing that, I do want us to recognize the fact we've got so many friends who are not able to be here because of sickness. And we have a large e-church. I'm gonna call it, we got an e-team, now we got an e-church. We got about 50 people who are part of our services every Sunday, all the way in Arizona and down in South Carolina and up in the mountains of Virginia and over in central northern Virginia. And just a lot of folks scattered all over here who watch us every Sunday. I don't know who they are, but Jim kind of gives me a report of those who watch us on the internet, Facebook, and whatever, and they're very faithful. I want to say to you, friends, you're a blessing to us. We're glad that you're part of the services here, and we wish you could be here in person for homecoming, but we're glad you're here for the singing. I know you've been blessed by the wonderful singing already, and thank God for that. But I want you to remember some friends who couldn't be here. Pray for Brother J.C. He was in the hospital with a problem with his heart, a lot of fluid, and they've changed all his medicine around, and so he's still having a hard time. Pray for Brother Jerry and Jane Sherwood, and Jerry is at home now, but he has been very, very, very sick with a very serious infection again, and so you pray for he and Jane, and it's just very draining on them, but keep them in your prayers. And Miss Peggy Proctor, who sits right here, she's always with us on Sunday morning, has been for some time. This week, she's going to have one of the chemical stress tests, and she's had that before, and she's had some heart issues, had heart surgery. And so I want you to remember her in prayer. Then it's going to be this coming week, and it'll be on Wednesday about 11:15. But you pray for Miss Peggy as she has that this week. And then Miss Peggy Langdon and maybe some others are going to be slipping out, going to a funeral, not going to get to stay for lunch. Mark Lee passed away. He was only 59 years old. He was a co-worker. Good friends with John and Peggy Langdon over the years, a co-worker with Kevin, and he had a heart attack, passed away just 59 years old. Please remember that family in prayer. And then I certainly want you to continue to remember to pray for Helen Stewart and for Stacy as well. Keep them in your prayers. And Johnny Benson and Miss Sandra, I know they'd love to be here for homecoming today, but you remember them in prayer. And then, of course, all of our shut-ins, I want you to remember them, folk that are near about always here and always brought food, and that, you know, thank the Lord for it. But I want you to pray for Miss Paul and Peggy today, and for Miss Lorraine Barber. Keep her in your prayers, and always we pray for Brother Bobby and Connie, and keep them in your prayers, and Miss Doris Langdon and others. And Miss Gwen here today, does she get to come today? Bless her heart, she's right there. Appreciate you being there. And then I said we had some older folks back, some friends. And, of course, Tracy and Jennifer have been coming. But Jacob's back today, and glad that he's back with us today. And in regard to Veterans Day coming up, that'll be on the second Sunday of November. We come back on the 7th. And so we're looking forward to that. It's always a very special time. And Lynetta mentioned not only veterans but active duty. And so I got to thinking, we've got Travis and we've got Andrew and some others, and Michelina they have grandchildren who are serving active duty. If you have a loved one that's active duty, if you could get their name and a mailing address, if you don't mind, and they wouldn't mind, and get it to Miss Trudy, maybe we can get that into the bulletin in a couple of weeks or so before Veterans Day, and their address, and let me get you as a church to send a card to them and let them know. We give to several different things like that, and they do all kind of special things where I sign little things and send back and all. I hope they get it, but if we had an address, you'd know it'd go direct to a service personnel. And so if we could do that, if you don't mind, if you could do that for us, and we'll have our church family to write a little note to them, tell them we love them, appreciate and praying for them, and thank them for their service. Now, in regard to prayers, let me add a couple of other people. Continue to pray for Brother Roy Rigdon and his wife Rose, and then our good friend with the ministry out in Wyoming at the chapel, Brother Leroy Jones. Brother Leroy is pretty close to 80 years old, but he's no longer doing that chapel ministry. He's had quite a few physical issues. He and his wife Kim both. I talked to him on the phone, and it's a kind of a heartbreaking situation for him. He's invested his life, going on 40 years in that one place, and ministering to truckers. And then at one time he worked with the Southern Baptist Home Mission Board and set up about 28 other chapels across the nation to help them do that. And then a good friend of mine who is a little older than I am, Brother Gerald Sykes, we were co-pastors in the Panhandle of Florida for several years, and we also went back and forth to Bible college together. And Brother Gerald lives in Alabama, but Brother Gerald is not doing well physically at all. So please remember him in prayer and ask God's blessing. Now, I took a little time doing that, but I think that's important to share those things with you and ask you to remember our friends and one another in prayer and acknowledge the ones who couldn't be here today. But I want you to just keep them in your prayer. Now, look with me, please, in 1 John. I hope you've figured it out now that we've been dealing with 1 John for a long time. And can I tell you, there's no way in the world we have come close to exhausting the truth that's in this book. Matter of fact, when I've been doing a little reading and studying the last few days, I told you this would probably be the last message. Probably Wednesday night, I'll kind of wind some things up. But this book is loaded, but not just this book. This Bible's full of treasure. And if you'll read it and study it, God will give you things. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And that word hid doesn't mean like, you know, like old people like I am. I put something somewhere where I won't forget it and then I forget where I put it. And it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean to hide. It means to place as a treasure somewhere. It means kind of like putting it in a safe deposit. This is so valuable, I'm going to put it in a safe place. I'm going to put it in a protected place. And when you hide the Word of God in your heart, you'll hide in a great treasure in a very special place in your heart. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp in any two-edged sword. And this Word, you can take one word in this Bible and just deal with it forever and ever, because it's quick and it's powerful and sharp in a two-edged sword. But being homecoming this morning, I wanted to come back to a passage of Scripture that I have had some things to say about previously. And I want to read in chapter 3, verses 1 and following. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he's pure. Now I want to pull out three little what I call definitive statements. There's more than that if you look back. But in verse number 2, there are three that I'm going to deal with. There's actually a fourth in there, but this morning for homecoming, three little short points, and then we're going to go eat. But I want you to mark your Bible. I love the way the Holy Ghost of God has arranged the Word of God for us. And in chapter 3 of 1 John, look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now here, watch now. Get your pen, and I want you to highlight some little phrases in here. Three definitive statements. Down near the end of this verse, it says this, and we know that, watch this, he shall appear. When he shall appear. But just mark this little phrase. He shall appear. Three words. He shall appear. And then look at the next one. We shall be like him. And mark those words. 5 for the number of grace. He's going to appear. That's the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 3 words there. But 5. We shall be like him. We're going to be like him. And then this last phrase, for we shall see him as he is. But I just want you to mark this. We shall see him. What awesome statements. He shall appear. We shall be like him. We shall see him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost. Lord, you've already blessed me. You've been so good to all of us here this morning. Thank you for the wonderful congregational singing. Thank you, our Father, for the choir. God, for touching them and blessing Charles this morning. And God, what a blessing. One of these days we'll enter that celestial city. God, what a day that's going to be. And Lord, I want to thank you for the specials this morning. Thank you so much for our friends that God, you anointed and blessed to sing. And what a blessing they were. I thank you for Brian and Kathy, and pray for them and their family, and for his dad and mom. And Lord, we love them. Thank you for sending them this away. Thank you, our Father, for Craig, and Lord, for Juanita and for Cabot, and God, for gifting them to play the musical instruments and then to sing so wonderfully this morning. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would make those songs that you minister to our hearts with, songs and hymns, spiritual songs, God, I pray they'd ring in our hearts throughout the day. Now, Lord, I pray your word would be quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Our Father, these three simple statements, definitive statements, Lord, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God just would settle them in our hearts. Lord, if we could leave here today with these truths very, very real to us, not something we just read, but something we have embraced and hid as a treasure in our heart, something, our Father, that'll make a difference down the road, something to help us in every battle of life, something that'll carry us home. And I pray, God, now that you'd speak, God, I bow before you and confess that, God, there's no good thing in me, but, God, I want to thank you for loving me and for saving me, for allowing me to love you and serve you for these years. Thank you, God, for this wonderful church and for this precious people, our Father, that through all these years that, God, they've kept me going. God, they've loved me and prayed for me and my family, and God, they stood with us and stood by us and been there when we needed them so desperately when we were low. And God, I want to thank you for their blessing us. And God, I want to be a blessing to them. God, I pray you allow us all to love you together, serve you together, until we all meet together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And God, I pray now that you'd bless this time this morning, speak to us. And God, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Real quickly, I could just read these verses and shout, amen, and we could go to house. But notice the first little statement that I've got here, and it's in the Word of God, and we just take those few words out. He shall appear. Will you say that with me? He shall appear. Say that again. He shall appear. I know him. Do you know him? Say amen. Amen. He came to where I was at when I lived up in Halifax County, my mama and daddy's house, and on a little dirt road there. He came where I was at one day. The wonderful glider that y'all gave me the other year during camp meeting sits on our side porch, and I go by from time to time, just sit on it. But every time I go in and out of my driveway, I look at it and I think back when he, the King of Glory, came to where I was at. He came and dealt with me as a young boy about my sin, and he forgave me and gave me everlasting life. And he's just as real as any of you are. He's real to me. I know his voice. I've met him. I know him. But I have never yet seen him. But one of these days, he's going to appear. One of these days, he's coming. The Bible says that we look for him, the great God, Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming again, and he's going to appear on the scene. That word appear has this emphasis to me. I went down early Saturday morning on my birthday, and I was getting up early. But I rode down to the beach. Becky doesn't live far off the beach. Man, the wind was blowing a hurricane. But I wanted to get a sunrise. I wanted to get the sunrise. And it was cloudy. And so right on the horizon, there was a heavy cloud, but you could see that red glow. And so I took a picture of the red glow. And then just above that, there was just a little bitty hole. And then more clouds. And I stood there for just another second or two. And I saw that real bright outline of the sun's crescent top. And it began to come, and I kept clicking. And after a while, although there was a haze, there was the full sun was there. Oh, what a blessing to see that. And I took it, but it was a kind of a gradual thing. But when I read this word, he shall appear, I think about the suddenness of his coming. He said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And he's going to come quickly, he said. That has to do, he said, I will come quickly. It doesn't mean that he's going to come in the next few moments in that particular passage of Scripture, but it has to do with the speed of his appearance. It's going to be quick, just like that. He's going to be here. I mean, it's going to be, you won't have time to repent. You won't have time to get saved. You won't have time to get right with God, but he shall appear. Look back with me in the book of Colossians in chapter number 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse number 4. Colossians chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Well, that's going to be quick. I'm going to deal with that in a few minutes. But his appearance will be sudden, and our being present with him will be sudden. And matter of fact, I'll go ahead and say it because I can't wait. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Have you ever seen an eye twinkle? I mean, it's just like that. You catch one of these little kids around here, and you just watch their eyes when this light hits it. See that twinkle in the eye? Just that quickly he's coming. Just that quickly we're going to be with him. Just that quickly we'll see our loved ones again. Just that quick. I'm going to tell you one thing. What a blessing. What a blessing. He shall appear. It tells me the fact that he's coming suddenly. But I do know this. He's coming selectively the first time. He's coming for those who love him. He said he will return for those who love his appearing. That is those who've been redeemed. And when he comes back in the rapture of the church, he's coming back to get those who've been saved, those who know him as Savior and Lord. Doesn't mean I've always been faithful. Doesn't mean I've always been what I ought to have been. But I've been redeemed by the blood. And he said this in Colossians, Paul did, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, when Christ, who is our life. My life is not me. My life is him. And he is my life. He that hath the Son hath life. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is he who is our life. And his coming is going to be sudden, but it's going to be selective too. He's going to just take us out, those who know the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that's going to be. Let me hasten on. We shall see him is the last one. But the next one is it. We shall be like him. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? We're going to be like him. Over in the book of Philippians, let me read a passage of scripture for you. In the book of Philippians, in chapter number 3, if you want to turn there. In Philippians chapter 3, let me get over here to it. In Philippians chapter 3, listen in verse number 20 at what he has to say about this wonderful appearing of our Lord. And he says this, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. When he comes back, we're going to be like him. Why? He's going to change our bodies. Whenever I do a funeral, there's a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that I always read. I want to read you a portion of that this morning. When he comes in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, listen to what's going to happen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to change our vile bodies into a glorious body like his. And he's going to do it quicker than I could read that passage of scripture to you. We shall be like him. We'll have a body like his body, a glorious body. We will not be gods. He's God, but we're going to be like him in his body. We'll have a body then that is not limited to time nor space. In your new body, you could go through a wall. He did. You have a body, my dear friend, that's not subject to sickness or sorrow or pain. The body you're going to have for all eternity will be a perfect body. It'll be a body that doesn't experience all of those things that we have inherited because of Adam's sin in our body. And what it's going to be, what a time that's going to be. Now, it could happen today. It could happen before we go back there to eat. For the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. They'll receive a brand new body. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together. And Paul wrote to us in Colossians and said that our bodies will be changed. He in 1 Corinthians, he's not talking about their resurrected bodies. Oh, theirs will be the way. He's talking about us. He said, then we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal will put on immortality. This body's dying. But thank God he's going to give you a body that doesn't ever get old. Amen. Thank God he's going to give you a body that's perfect. And he said, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. We have a vile body, he said in Colossians. We have a body that is corruptible. And that tells us that until Jesus comes, none of us are going to be absolutely perfect in our Christian walk. We are in our position in Christ, but not perfect in our walk. One of these days, we'll have a body like unto his glorious body. It will be a blessing. But then, what a wonderful thought. He shall appear. We'll appear with him in glory. I mean, just bam, bam, just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then it says this, we shall see him. Job is supposed to be, according to scholars, probably the oldest book of the Bible. And what truth is in that wonderful book? Job said that when in pride I'll come forth as gold. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But he also said this. He said, there's coming a day when I'll die. And he said, though the skin worms devour my flesh, I know one thing, that I shall see him. I'll see him. I'm going to get to see him. I went back and read even earlier this morning, Exodus 33, verse 20. Moses had been directed by God, the Ten Commandments, the construction of the tabernacle, his instruction to lead all the nation of Israel, all those things. He saw the burning bush. He was in the presence of God so that his flesh glowed. But he did not see an image, and God made a statement. He said, you will remember, I never showed you an image of me. And he said, you're not fashioning anything of an image because you didn't see an image. But he did say this. Oh, Moses, he wanted so desperately to see the Lord. And he said, oh, I wish I could behold your glory. And God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in a little cleft in the rock here by me. And he said, I'll pass by and you'll see my glory, the hind part of my glory. Just a little glimpse of my glory. That's all you can see. And he makes this statement, because no man can see God and live. The presence of God's so awesome. People mock God, make fun of God. But all of that will be over with when they see him. They'll melt before him. I mean God, when God, the creator of this universe, they stand before him. But you know, Paul just said, we shall see him. And if you go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4, it talks about him being the light. And it says there's no need of a sun or moon or anything there because he's the light. And then it makes this simple statement, they shall see his face. I have no idea. I've seen pictures, and we all seen pictures, and some of them are of the Roman type of Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes and all of that. Song of Solomon said his hair was black, bushy as a raven, black as a raven, bushy. I don't know. We don't have any physical vision of what it looks like, but we're going to see him. How are we going to see him? We'll see him in his marvelous glory, because he prayed we would. In John 17, he said, Father, I pray that they might all be where I am, that they might behold me in my glory. We're going to get to see Jesus in all of his glory. Man, there's nothing like it. I mean, you just think about being in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory. But we get to see him not only in all of his marvelous glory, but in all his exalted position. He's been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. We'll see him in that exalted position. And then we'll see him in his royal reign. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the King loved us and died for us that we might be where he's at. We'll see him. I know it's real. You know it's real. He's been so good to me and blessed me in so many ways, and I don't know why, but it's just all of grace. But one day we shall see him. And I'm going to just tell you, if you read Revelation, you know your reactions. You know what it's going to be. They worshiped him and said, "Worthy art thou." And they magnified him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's going to be shouting time then in glory when we shall see him. I asked Brett if he'd sing a song. Wasn't sure if he'd ever sung it before. I know we've heard it. Don't remember if anybody in the church has sung it. But I want you to listen. Brother Brad's going to come sing a song. And right now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to bow your head. Three definitive little statements here on Homecoming Sunday. Number one, he shall appear. I promise you he's coming. Brother Donnie Walker is Ralph Sexton's associate pastor. He's kind of coordinating help with the trip to Israel. I've been communicating with him. And he said, "You know, Brother Billy, I've been 19 years in a row." He said, "I'm more excited about this trip this year than anyone I've ever had." And I said, "Well, Donnie," I said, "I've been in the ministry 52 years, 73 years old." And I said, "I've never even had a desire to go to Israel until last year. And I've got a burning desire to go." And he said, "That's what a lot of people feel." He said, "There's excitement." He said, "I know what it is. He's coming soon. I believe that with all my heart. He shall appear." But then what a wonderful truth. We shall be like him. We'll have a brand new body. Many of you sitting here today in pain. Many of our church family couldn't be here today because of pain and sickness in their body. But when Jesus comes, he said, we'll see him and we'll be like him. We'll have a glorious body, like his glorious body. But we shall see him. What a definitive statement. Moses wanted to see him and never did. Joshua never saw him. All the great men of the Old Testament, all the great men of the New Testament never saw him in his glory. We all get to see him in his glory. One of these days, we shall behold him. I want you to think about that and think about whether or not you're really going or not. Brad's going to sing the song and then I'll have a comment. But I want you to hear the first part of this song as he sings.
Glory.
Again for just a moment. Do you know him? We shall behold him. If you know him, you'll see him. He shall appear. We shall be like him. We shall see him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you don't know him today, he came to bleed and die and was buried and rose again. And he wants to save you. If you're in the building and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm going to ask you this. If you don't know you're saved and you said, Brother Bill, I'd sure like to know I'm saved, I'm going to ask you to pray right where you are. And I'd sure love the privilege of praying for you before I pray. But I want you to call on him. But if you're here and say, Brother Bill, if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's going to see it but me and God. God bless you. Somebody else in the building, anybody else. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being here today. And God, I ask in Jesus' name that God the Holy Spirit, Lord, would move. Bless our dear friends in this building. Please don't let anybody here leave lost. But God, I pray that down the road in the next few days, that word, the truth, will find lodging in our heart. We can hide it in our heart as a great treasure. When things don't seem like they're going well, we'll say, He shall appear. We shall be like Him, and we shall see Him. That day's coming. Nothing is going to change that. Government will not change that. Society will not change that. Good days, bad days, sickness or health won't change that. We will see Him. God, I pray for those friends who may not know You as Savior and Lord now. God, the Holy Ghost, God, please convict them and make them absolutely miserable till they find rest in You. Be with all our friends we requested prayer for earlier, and bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.